You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With a hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Dan, do you have the Twitter app or do you just always use Safari?
Here, you mean?
Or on your phone?
Here, it's bothering you that much? You
finally, we get notifications your... every time you do it.
You well, do.
What do you mean?
I get notifications on my phone. Anyone that has access to the @LeBatardShow account on their Twitter gets a notification. And on top of that, I get an email because the email is tethered to me.
I'll download it. That's fine. I'll download it.
I use Echo Phone.
God.
I was doing it to try. I was doing. The reason I wasn't downloading is because I was trying to be in it less. That's why.
I can assure you, as someone that gets the notifications, you are not.
What was that? What was that? Why'd you make that noise after I said Echo Phone?
Echo we're Phone. Old,
it's
we're
just old. Like, that was like an original iPod Touch app.
How do you post your photos via YFrog?
It does take me a few minutes.
Right, hang on. I'll send you directions as to how to download the app to your GeoCities email.
I mean, I do have the Twitter app as well. What happens is Echo Phone is just on my first page, and I don't want to scroll over to page 3. Yeah. So it's easier.
The part I feel bad about for Mike is he's getting those notifications is 3 a.m.
yeah. It's, I understand why you're going through Safari, because I think you told me long ago you deleted the app in an effort to be on it less. And every time I get a notification, I'm like, wow, he succumbed to this horrible addiction.
Well, and every time I sign on, and it's funny that I haven't learned this before now, every time I sign on, I know Mike's watching me. Mike right. knows yes. something about me every time.
Big
I
brother.
But 3 a.m, what's the addiction? Cocaine? What are you doing?
His sleep patterns are all off.
I'm under stress, you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
It's as if you haven't been next to me for 24 months. Know. Like, what do you think is happening with me? Like, what when you think he's up at 3 a.m, do you really think to yourself it must be the cocaine?
Nah, well, occasionally I do. You're just a weird creature, though. With or without stress, you've always been up at like weird hours.
No, I've always been someone who goes to sleep late. Now I'm somebody who occasionally falls asleep at 9 p.m. and just can't stay up beyond 9 p.m. Where like my body just shuts down, and next thing you know, I'm sleeping from 9 to 2, and that's it. That's all the sleep I'm getting.
You don't go back to sleep? Like, no, you don't read an hour?
Well, no, what I'm doing is work-related stuff. What I'm doing from 2 to 5 is the area in our schedule that we have to get stuff done that Mike is doing on off days. And we're talking right now without the shipping container because we're having technical difficulties because there are all sorts of complications involved in trying to do this show the way we used to do it without the infrastructure we had before.
I want to say you didn't ask for any of this, but you asked for all of this.
Yeah,
I mean,
you asked for all of it. What's funny about today's issues, because I actually think it's on the internet service provider and we're just sort of at their mercy. But today marks the first day I decided to tell our on-site engineer, Bob in the Miner's Helmet, hey, don't worry about coming in today. Everything seems to be working all right. Yeah. So what happens? Inevitably, the internet is down, and I have no connectivity to the remote people. And now our show is on unsettled ground, but we can offline record, so this local hour is just confined to the four people in this studio, Dan, Stu, myself, and Chris Whittingham.
And where are we with Lefko and Greg Cody and McGill and doing the show the way we normally do the show?
Yeah, and Amin as well. We have no internet.
Yeah,
so whenever
they can't join us.
Whenever we have internet, will be them joining us.
Right, I could get them over the phone, but the jolly men of the shipping container, they won't. I can get them on the phone. I think the phones are working.
Is Bob rushing in?
Yeah, the phones are working. Bob is sort of in a holding pattern because I don't really know if Bob can help right now. I'm waiting for an answer on whether or not this is on us or our ISP.
How would Bob not be able to help? Wouldn't he be able to get that answer?
Bob can't help, what does that mean? No one can help? Bob right now is the... If something happens to Bob, we have no way to be the number one podcast in sports.
That's not true. I mean,
we can't do it this way.
Bob is here because I can't do the Bob shit when I'm also content creating, but we're all in a group chat right now. We're all just waiting for the same answer. Is it something on our end that we can fix on site?
Our show is buffering is what you're basically saying.
No, we're not buffering.
No, we're just not working.
Yeah, you have to be connected to the internet to buffer, I think. Look, Bob is not a computer guy, okay?
Well, what is he? You put him on the cover of Forbes.
Bob is the guy who gets us up and running and part of that, one of the parts to that is the computer guy. He is a one-stop shopping mall.
No. He's Jose Akendo?
I understand Bob is just known as a fixer.
An 80s utility.
I was thinking, there's no one, only me and you.
How could you not go a more recent utility man than 86 Mets?
Go ahead. Well, I think it was 86 Cardinals with Akendo, but go ahead. Give me the updated utility man.
We need to stop here for a moment. I go old as well. I'd go someone like Mike Mordecai. I'd go mid-90s Marlins.
That's a good one.
So what about Bob gives off computer whiz to you exactly? Is it the Miner's Helmet? Because, look, Bob is an old-school radio engineer. When he knows his way around a computer, like he connected some of our printers, but he's got a Bell South email handle and he types with two index fingers. He's not our IT guy.
Okay, no, but here's the part that's not fair about it, all right? That Mike might think that that's clever and might think everyone's guffawing, what idiots these guys are, they don't know anything. But the question began with 3 a.m. Why are you up at 3 a.m.? And I legitimately got a call from Mike Ryan, a text rather, from Mike Ryan the other day, in which, because I'm just scanning through things so quickly, I thought that our other engineer, Alex, who's been wandering around here. I read his text so quickly that I legitimately thought Mike was telling me that he was going to become our guest booker, that our engineer was going to be the guy who was booking guests for us, because everyone around here right now is doing about 10 jobs they don't need to be doing.
Our engineer is not our guest booker. He was just putting a couple of names on our radar because we need guests, but without internet, guests are pointless. Guys.
What names did he put on the radar, just out of curiosity?
What are you doing?
I'm just wondering why the engineer is suggesting guests to us.
Well, to call him an engineer is like slightly dismissive.
Sorry.
Because he's our operations manager.
Oh, okay. For the love of God.
This is top level stuff. He has a lot of experience and an impressive resume. So. If he hears,
now
it's good producing out of him.
Is Bob the engineer now insulted because you've dared to compare him to Alex, who's not an engineer?
Well, Bob's the engineer, and Alex is the operations manager.
Bob's also the IT guy, and Alex is also the guest booker.
Alex is not the guest booker. Alex is. And I understand you're doing a lot of work, and sometimes that work... I mean, requires you like a Dragonfly Jones tweet, apparently. I'm not really sure what we're doing.
No, that's Juju. That's not me.
Is either interested in being general sales manager.
I actually have an interesting candidate in mind for that.
So do I.
People have been reaching out.
Same here. Yeah.
And I'm trying to navigate not being rude, because they look at, oh, wow, that's perennially a top three sports podcast in America, depending on the given weekday. It's number one in the nation, and they assume we have our shit together. Meanwhile, I'm talking to you from a studio that has no internet presently, and I have no answers as to whether or not it's our ISP or if it's an on-site solution. So, oh, I got a text. Sorry.
Put it on the poll. I was going to say Guillermo, but we can't get a hold of him. So, Whittingham, put it on the poll. Do you know what an ISP is at Levitard Show? Mm. Yes or no, I wanted to talk about what happened with LeBron yesterday. I don't know how much you've seen, Stugatz, because you've been engulfed in some stuff. So do you know what I'm talking about when I say LeBron James, who has dominated the marketplace in our world, and I mean in Miami for 4 years, but our world of sports, where it's been fascinating, actually, Stugatz, to sit right in the middle as it's happening of some of the stuff that I told you that happened with Jordan that we forget,
right?
Because he did his losing on the front end and then spent 10 years erasing that losing.
Sure.
And it wasn't real losing. He was still great, but he'd get to the second round and there'd be people questioning him. He's not strong enough. You can't win that way. Ball hog, all this stuff. The stuff that was stupid about Michael Jordan, instead of enjoying the first part of, wow, this is the best I've ever seen, and then it becomes, oh no, this is the best I've ever seen, and nothing is able to attack that, not even LeBron James, who is 70 pounds heavier and does all the same things that Michael Jordan did, because they question winner, winner, winner. Who's going to beat him now? Now, look at what's in front of you, and look at how
the
Lakers have gotten better, and Marc Gasol is on their team, whether you think he's spent or not. He's now doing with the Lakers the same thing he did here, where he gets here, and it's like the centers have to be Joel Anthony and Eric Dampier, and it starts sparse, and then he builds the economy around himself. So he adds Anthony Davis, and he adds all these little pieces here and there, and in 2 years, when he's 38, because his career has been properly managed by himself, his body, the people around him, the people spend $1 million keeping that body healthy a year, you know, because he does all that. It's looking like he's going to win throughout his late 30s. Is it not? Now that the numbers on what athletes can be when they take care of their bodies is different, changed by science and Tom Brady.
I'd say the only thing that could get in his way is the Clippers or Giannis. But yes, it does appear like LeBron's going to tack on some more titles here into his late 30s and early 40s. Well, and that's all. I've been marveling at LeBron lately, and maybe a newfound respect for him, that he has not missed a game this year. He is 20 years into this, and he still cares about a game on a Tuesday night. Like, it's the NBA Finals. Like, he's yelling at referees. He's giving max effort. And I'm amazed by that he loves basketball that much, that a game against the Atlanta Hawks last night means that much to him. It just does. It's incredible, man.
Whittingham, would you do me the favor, please, of getting Amin on an old-fashioned phone line as Mike has had to leave the studio because he's got to handle some stuff? But I want to talk to him because I don't think that Stugatz, and I understand this. This may have happened to a lot of you who don't have going on in their lives what Stugatz has going on in their life, in his life. But the standings are a bit upside down at the moment. So when you say maybe Giannis has done next to nothing this year to suggest that Bucks team. And it's not that he doesn't look great, but that Bucks team is what it was last year when it was eliminated in the second round. And so there, whatever the challengers are, and whether you believe it's Utah or Philadelphia through 20 games, because that's what the top of the standings looks like, the Lakers are better than they were last year. And I don't know we can say that about anybody else except maybe the Sixers in terms of what the top bracket
the Nets.
Is. The Nets are the worst defense in the league, Stugatz. Like, they'll win a bunch of games during the regular season, but there's simply no way. Even as the Nets are the best offense in the league and the best offense ever, the way they're pacing.
Well, I'm agreeing with you because I'm saying maybe the Clippers, maybe Giannis, just because he's so talented. The big addition, Gasol and Schroeder. I mean, it's been, and you're right, they're better than they were last year, and I fully expect the Lakers to win a title this year, but if you're asking me who can get in the way, and I know your original question is what happened last night and a fan getting ejected, but who can get in the way, I would say the Clippers, perhaps, maybe Durant, maybe Giannis. Those are the only three.
Okay, and that's why I wanted to bring in Amin Alhassan, who would have been joining us by internet, but we're just bringing him in by phone line because we wanted to do this local hour with him and wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Heat, because last night they had their full squad. And eventually, when we talk about LeBron's bodies, that's one of the things I think of is Goran Dragic from a war-torn hell who has toughed his way through everything to get to the All-Star game. And that particular sport, as an undersized, tough dude, that dude's body is clearly breaking and has been for 2 or 3 years now because of the strain of all of that.
Yeah.
And he takes care of himself, and he's unbelievably tough, and he cares. But Goran Dragic is younger than LeBron, is he not?
I believe so, yeah. I'm like, checking right now.
But, yeah, by a good deal, by a good deal.
Okay, so, I mean, we're just talking about the idea that LeBron in his late 30s is still a body machine that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent.
Dragic is 34, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, LeBron, I think that's probably the thing that separates him from pretty much every single player who has ever played this game. You want to talk about the difference between the greats and him? He never gets hurt. He's got two weaknesses that I think I've identified. He rolls his ankles sometimes, never misses a game because of it. He ties them up tighter, retapes, and gets out there. And the other thing is he gets cramps. He gets cramps from time to time. Other than that, the guy's had absolutely no muscular or skeletal issues in his career, in a career that is, 18 years deep, where he plays a lot of minutes since the very first day he stepped on the court, where he rarely takes games off, where he plays deep into the playoffs, where he plays for USA Basketball. Think about how much mileage this man has compared to any other player in NBA history, and then compare it to his injury history. It just isn't natural. It's the most unique thing about him, I would say.
It is insane. He said after the game the other night, Amin, that he doesn't get tired, and I believed him. Do you?
I would say go back to that Cleveland team in 2007. He got tired.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
So you may ask yourself, well, that was an odd way to use Amin, just to bring him in and ask him two questions and then laugh about LeBron's amazing body and then he's gone. And it's just part of our technical difficulties where things are falling apart around here in the first week of February. We rattle and clang, and it really does feel every day like the nuts and bolts are loose on the tire of a jalopy, like the car. And they're just nuts and springs and sprockets, landing on the sidewalk because the car is moving a little unstably.
It was all exciting. It was fun in January, but I'm starting to get nervous. I got to be honest.
Yes, yes. January, there was drinking at 9 a.m. on the second day. Freedom, freedom. And now the Pirates are tired. It's one of those sick days at sea. The waters are choppy. It's cloudy and unpleasant out, and we all smell like fish. And Amin is one of the pirates on the pirate ship. Amin said, if you're going to be a pirate, what was the quote that was so great that I was yelling at you about last time? Because we ended the first segment sloppily because we're having technical difficulties, but I wasn't talking to Amin because there's stuff going on with the Heat and basketball that I do want to talk to him about. We might have lost the shipping container for the entire show. We will let you know. We're trying to get the internet working. Right now we're at the mercy of Atlantic Broadband. If you live on the beach, you know that is a mercy that you never want to be at. Better to be in Art Briles' hell than being at the mercy of Atlantic Broadband. But you come back in here, and I'm just curious because I want to talk about some other things in basketball. But in the middle of what you were saying in the last segment, I believe you tried talking about the skeleton to call injuries. You used an adverb of some sort or an adjective using the word skeletal incorrectly. Do you remember what you did there?
I didn't use it incorrectly. I said his musculature and his skeleton. Like the two different things, right?
No, that's not what you said. You said skeleture. You said his, I think you said.
Is there something wrong with
that? His musculature and his skeleture. And I think it's his skeletal structure. I think you did a Chris Cody. I think you did a merging of words there. But when you say his body has no precedent, I want to get into what happened last night with this fan, because I thought that was interesting from a number of different angles, and we can have some funny with it as well. But the question we were bringing you on to answer is LeBron going to spend his late 30s doing what Jordan did, where we're going to look back at what we did to him through 2 and 3 championships and we're going to be like, man, we shouldn't have been doubting that dude. He got to 6 or he got to 7.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, Dan, there was a point in the early 90s or like 89, 90 where people were saying Michael Jordan is the best player in the league and he might be the best player of all time. And there were all these people who said, what? This guy who can't get out of the Eastern Conference? This guy who's a ball hog, a me first guy? I mean, it's funny. You can go back and watch the NBA on NBC intros where Marv Albert asks, will Michael Jordan ever join the Pantheon? Or will he be like O.J. Simpson and Bob Lanier? And he starts naming all the Ernie Banks, Mr. Chicago, but never Mr. Cub. Never been to a World
Hold on a second. Hold
what
on.
Is this
hold,
voice?
I mean, hold on.
I mean,
no, well, it is. It's a means.
Is it Harry Carey?
Yeah, it's a means Marv Albert, but I need you to do it all over again because it had too many stumbles in it. So if you want another crack at Marv Albert being judgy 80s, 90s broadcaster, standing from on high, questioning Michael Jordan in the same way Francesa questioned those 80s Hurricanes, go ahead. Do Marv Albert, because that was the Marv Albert. It means Marv Albert, correct?
Yes. That is Marv Albert, yes.
All right, you want to welcome people into the NBA? What is it? The NBA on NBC. Go ahead.
Yes.
Champion, the metric by which we judge all athletes. However, some of our greats have never played at the highest stage. Mr. Cub, 3-time MVP, but never played in October. O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,000 yards. But never played in a Super Bowl. And Michael Jordan. Some say he's the greatest of all time. While detractors point out his lack of playoff success. He tries to change that today on NBC.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, wow, with the music.
Yes, no. I want you, no, wait, Chris, I want you to put on the front and the back end of that. John Tesh gave us the rights to that music in perpetuity. So you should absolutely splice that in so it sounds like we planned it all. Amin, that was amazing. I salute you for being the first person ever to use the word detractors, not on off a script. Like, no one speaks like that. No one says detractors unless they're writing an essay for television.
I've watched that video too many times, Dan.
It's a pretty good Marv. It's not, but we'll take it. Like, today where nothing's working, you worked, Amin. Like,
well, it's not just that I love that he tried it. His point stands.
Yes.
We did this to Michael Jordan, and I was talking before you came on, Amin, about the thing with Michael Jordan is he gave us 10 years of winning to erase all of that so we could just forget it. Here with LeBron, it's been herky-jerky, and I'm sure there are many people listening, oh, Dan, what are you doing giving LeBron 2 or 3 more championships? But the conversation we were having is the Lakers are better this year, Amin. Who else can you say that about? Philadelphia in the top tier. You could say it about Philadelphia. Who else can you say it about?
I think Milwaukee is better, and I think they're trying new things. I know their record isn't as stellar as we've been accustomed to seeing the last 2 years, but I think they've addressed their depth. They've gotten a lot better, and they're trying different things. If you watch the Bucks play, they're trying stuff where Giannis isn't on the ball, where he's on the baseline and Drew Holiday is running high pick and roll with either Lopez or Chris Middleton. And I think the additions that they had of DJ Augustine as a backup point guard, as Bobby Portis as a backup big, like that makes them deeper and better than they've been the last couple of years. But it's right now, it's just not looking very fluid. But you guys are right. You're not wrong. The Lakers are the clear favorite. And if they lose, it would be something pretty miraculous that would happen.
I mean, are the Clippers better?
I guess chemistry is the difference, right? They seem to be in a much more harmonious chemistry place than they were a year ago. I would say talent-wise, top to bottom, they're not as talented as they were a year ago. But maybe this year the pieces fit a little better. Maybe Ty Lue has everyone bought in, and that's all the difference you need.
What about Stugatz's Knicks? He's been dying to talk to you about his Knicks and the change. He's already doing 8 seed, and we got to get Mike Ryan in here, stop wrestling engineers to the ground, because he's got to start worrying about his Heat losing at home to Charlotte.
Oof, yeah, that was a tough one for the Heat yesterday, because they should have won that game. They're up 10 with about 3 minutes to go, and then the shot selection just gets wonky, and they couldn't stop Malik Monk on the other end. That last three-pointer that Malik Monk hit to tie it up, Bam Adebayo, I don't know what he was thinking. Was he worried about the guy driving past him and laying it up? So what? Who cares? You got to jump there. And then Jimmy Butler on the other end, I know he's got a reputation for being what I call Mr. October and kind of a closer and all, but the shot selection just wasn't what they needed at the time. And those are kind of – the problem with the Heat is that's a loss. They say, shucks, we shouldn't let that one get away and kind of move on. But when you're as bad as they've been early on because of all the injuries, losses like that mount up. It's like, no, we need this win in a way that we probably wouldn't have a year ago.
He asked about my Knicks. I mean,
my fault. Yeah, the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are the Knicks. The good news is they're defending. They're defending at a very high level. They're a top five defense in this league. And, Tom Thibodeau obviously deserves a lot of credit for that, because it's a lot of the same guys that were here last year. Usually when you look at a defensive jump, it's because we went out and got Kevin Garnett or someone like that to kind of change things up. And in this case, it's just a coaching staff thing. But their offense is terrible, Stugatz. And R.J. Barrett, man, bless his heart. I like him. He plays hard. But, man, there are times that he just doesn't seem very good. I don't know how else to put it.
Mike, you're worried about your Heat, are you not?
Yeah, last night was super concerning. This was supposed to be the start of the run. Okay, schedule lightens up and you finally have your full team for the first time since like the third game of the season. They should have covered easily. I had action on that game, no doubt, but they end up losing, and it's just, when I watch them, even when they're not at full strength, they assume they have this gear. I don't know if it's because they're resting on their laurels because they made an NBA Finals.
You sound sad. You sound sad really and scared.
Does.
Scared.
They seem to think that they have this gear that I don't think they have. They're trying to coast to wins big three used to. Yeah,
look, Amin has been great on this subject over the course of 5 years in terms of what his basketball knowledge is for real, in that we keep overlooking over the last 5 years what happens to this team every time that Goran Dragic is something less than Goran Dragic. Like, I don't know why we keep doing that, as if he doesn't matter. As if, he wouldn't have affected.
A huge part of the team.
I just don't get why we do that to him.
I mean, I think Mike does that to him. And it started years ago. But, Dan, you're right. When Goran isn't 100%, it's very obvious in the way he plays, and it's very obvious in the way the team plays. And they, a game like last night, we're down the stretch. You really needed someone to kind of calm everything down. And while you love Jimmy's aggression and his ability to go get one, I don't like it when Jimmy Butler brings the ball up the floor and then kind of just isos his way. It really harkened back to, Mike, you remember a couple of years ago when I was saying, when they were doing that with Dwayne Wade before he left, and I said, that's not how you're not going to win games like that every night. Just give it to him and get out of the way. It just isn't right in terms of his talent level at this current period and what the defenses are expecting. They need to have a lot more kind of involvement of other people and get Jimmy on the run Some were catching it on the move off ball. And so last night was an example that I think if Goron were healthy and were playing, and I don't think he's healthy, that's why he wasn't out there, but if you were healthy and you're playing, you give it to him, you run something, and then you catch Jimmy on the wing where he can attack.
Now, Mike is getting mad at you. Wait, Goron was 1 for 9 last night.
Okay, but he's not Steph Curry. If he puts up a 1 for 9, we don't have to automatically assume, oh, what's wrong with him? He wasn't playing because of the pandemic protocol, not because of some injury. Now, granted, he's got to be banged up because of the quick turnaround, but I don't think it's forcing the 1 for 9. Occasionally, Goran Dragic is going to give you a 1 for 9.
He hasn't. They haven't had
the... I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't say Goran's got to take the last shot. I'm not talking about – I don't give him 1 for 100. I'm just saying you need someone out there to run an offensive set so that it's not Jimmy versus the world.
But I think Mike is saying that Goran has been out there. He's been fine. In fact, I'm looking at the game logs right now. He's actually played well. The team just hasn't been healthy.
Yeah, Goran's been out there more than the other people. Like, if we're going to point to a player not being there, you can point to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler did not talk to the media last night. Jimmy Butler threw up one of those awful ISO three-pointers to end a game. That's one of Spo's late-game execution calling cards. It is what it is at that point. They had their full arsenal of weapons last night, and they blew a 10-point lead with 3 minutes left against the Charlotte Hornets. They are not the same team presently. We assume they have this other gear, but they haven't tapped into it. The defensive intensity is simply not there. There's bad decisions being made. There isn't ball movement happening late in game. Like I said, in watching them, they kind of feel like they think they can hero ball their way to victories, and that's not what got them to the dance.
But you're asking me about gears, though, Mike, and what I am doing is the same thing you're doing, which is, well, the gear is when everyone is healthy, they'll look a little more like they looked last year. But against when you're looking for covers on these games, and I'm watching them play against Sacramento and barely eke out something in a game they needed there at home, Sacramento has to come to them. You've got to win that game. They're barely eking it out with their full complement, except Goran is out in that game. He sat out with some strain something or another. And then he plays in this one, and he's 1 for 9 against Charlotte in a game at home that you have to have as you get out of the bottom of the stage. Because you're one of the most disappointing teams in the league, the gear I'm expecting from them is health. And what I'm telling you is Goran is part of that health. Goran banged up is part of that health. Them as their strongest version of themselves from last year, Goran's got to be right. And at this age with that body, it's hard to ask him to always be right.
I don't know what it is we're doing right now with Goran Dragic. He's not the problem. He had a bad game. Let's stop saying he's
injured. I'm talking
injured.
About the last two games,
yeah,
Mike.
But what the issue here is that Goran succeeds when the team has ball movement and puts him in the right positions and he's chucking up that top of the key three-pointer. It's just ISO. Right now, they're not doing the things that their identity was built on when they were successful last year. It's plain as day. It's painful to watch. They're not limiting turnovers. They're giving teams pick sixes the other way constantly. I think that's what the problem here is they think they're better than they actually are.
I'll tell you the problem. The problem is, and you're not giving them any credit, the Charlotte Hornets. That team for the next 10 years, I am telling you right now, and I know Amin, okay, basketball expert's going to agree with me, Michael Jordan has done a great job. Because LaMelo Ball, I am telling you, that kid is a star. He's a star now, and he's going to be a star for the next 20 years.
He wasn't good last night. He was just okay last night.
He started last night, but that kid is good. Zeller's playing good. Hayward's good. P.J. Washington is solid.
He started last night is what your counter was?
He's been coming off the bench. Yeah. LaMelo Ball's been playing so good off the bench, he finally got a start.
Yeah,
and I think he's there to stay.
Because
Rozier
was hurt.
And Malik Monk finally paying dividends. How about that, Amin? I mean, the Hornets are a good, solid team.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
I like how Alex DeGott says Michael Jordan has done a great job.
He's been terrible for 15 years. LaMelo Ball might be good. Michael Jordan has done a great job. Also, Michael Jordan might be in bed with hedge fund guys.
Yeah, he might. But if LaMelo Ball is great, then Jordan, I mean, great job, right? I mean, that's the way it works.
In the Stugatz analysis, yes. It does. You went right into your mode. It's the first time I've seen you in about 10 days.
We're talking gears.
We're talking not just gears. I mean, we're talking about, are the Heat lazy? Complacent? Did it go to their heads? They're being sloppy with the ball. Pick sixes. Their fame went to their heads. They're intoxicated. Like, it's not about basketball. We're not actually analyzing the basketball. It's nope. Mike saying they've gotten, they don't have a gear.
I don't know what you're doing. I am actually analyzing the game. I'm giving explanations.
You're giving
to why
all
they're struggling.
Intangibles.
No, that's not an intangible. Turnovers is not an intangible. That is tangible
no.
as shit.
No, you're assigning the turnovers to they're being less they're being more reckless because they care less.
Well, they're number one, they're probably having more turnovers because the likes of Gabe Vincent are out there and they have a rotation of eight guys and none of them were good. The problem with last night and why I reacted so poorly to last night is they had everybody. They were doing the same G League stuff that the replacement level players were doing.
And they ran to a juggernaut. I mean,
Michael Jordan is doing a great job. I don't think there's a funnier name comedically that Mike could have slapped me in the face with like a fish than Gabe Vincent. It renders all of our previous is he the new Solomon Hill? Like, what just happened there where it rendered all of the first 20 games irrelevant, all the analysis, it doesn't matter whether it's Goran Dragic or they're lackadaisical. Wait a minute. Why is Gabe Vincent playing for them? It's a funny name comedically. Gabe Vincent can't. Put it on the poll, please, Whittingham. Can a guy named Gabe Vincent ever be really good at basketball?
I don't think Gabe played last night. It was Max Struss.
Yeah.
We
finally didn't have to rely on Gabe Vincent. I'm worried because when the team has been fully healthy, they don't look good. You can understand why they're dropping games to the Nets when they're counting on big minutes from Gabe Vincent. I'm not getting mad at that, but holy shit, the team that made it to the NBA Finals can hold a 10-point lead against the Charlotte Hornets with 3 minutes left?
But, Mike, you say when they haven't been playing well when they're fully healthy. How many – you can count on one hand the number of times they've been fully healthy this year.
Yeah, four.
That's like I'm saying, last night, yes, they made mistakes down the stretch. They should have won that game. They should have closed it out. In a vacuum, you would say, ah, man, we blew that one, but it's okay. The reason why it's so dire is because of the bad stuff they've had. But the bad stuff they've had isn't because they haven't been playing well. It's because they haven't been healthy. So can we allow them in their first game in about a month or so, more than a month of all being together, can we allow them, hey, some rust to just kind of work it out as they get back to where they want to be? Because I'm pretty sure if you're noticing these things and I'm noticing these things, it's not like Spo's walking into practice and say, all right, guys, let's get some shots up and go home. They're probably talking about it. You got to give them the kind of the benefit of the doubt that they're going to get this turnaround in time. There's still a lot of season left, and for as bad as they've had a start, they're not that far out from home court advantage, let alone an 8 seed.
Fair enough, and I generally agree with you, but every time they drop a result like that, I'm worried because you say it's a long season, but it's not as long as it used to be. Every time they drop a game to the Charlotte Hornets or blow a big lead or get blown out early and try to make it look close at the end, I am dreading a Brooklyn Nets first-round matchup because there's not much – they can't make up that much ground in a 72-game season, I don't think,
They can if they get Bradley Beal.
That'll help. And it wouldn't surprise you if they did, right? Because one of the things – also, Mike, that I think is fair to say, if you're expecting these giant leaps like you've already seen where Bam Adebayo is putting the standard, where you're expecting these leaps, I don't know, I mean, if you're buying using the counting stats through 4 years to compare him to Giannis, because Bam Adebayo is statistically, through the counting stats, doing in year four what it is that Greek Freak did in year four. But Tyler Hero, it might be unfair to expect Tyler Hero to immediately start or return back to the place. Hey, can you give us 37 a night in the finals? Like, can you do that for us in a game, in an important playoff game against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, he hasn't been that this year. He's been plenty good and fine for a 20-year-old, but if you can't, what is the evolution process that we're supposed to be expecting there? What's fair to him?
Definitely not 37 on any given night. You know, I was doing hoop streams with Kendrick Perkins a few months ago, and Perk said Tyler Hero is going to be an all-star next season, and I said absolutely not. There's nothing in his current trajectory and the situation he's in that's going to allow him to be an all-star, because, and I know this is going to sound harsh, he's not that good. Could he be an all-star in his career? Absolutely. Right now, though, no. He's a guy that had some good playoff games because he took advantage of some situations and some opportunities. It's not unlike what Sam Cassell did as a rookie for the Houston Rockets in 94. he was instrumental in them winning a championship. He had big games. He had big shots. He had this poise and this swagger. But, like, you can't then just project, well, because he did it once or twice in a big stage environment, now he can do it over the course of an entire season better than almost every other player in the conference. There's just too much expectation for a guy who, not only a young guy as far as, like, his age, but a young guy in terms of, man, like, just absorbing all this stuff. You know, you got Jack Harlow making a song about him and stuff. You have a little bit of putting the cart before the horse with him. And I think Miami's doing a good job of internally not putting those expectations on him, letting him grow into what he can possibly become. But the reality is, the biggest thing that Tyler Herro has going for him is he's a pretty nice centerpiece for a trade if you're going to try and swing for someone else.
All right, Mike, hold on a second. I can't believe that you weren't recoiling away from the microphone. Amin El-Hassan just smeared your face with the take, Tyler Herro's not that good. And Tyler Herro's been the reason that you don't have Bradley Beal, I would assume, already. That the Heat fan base, as of a game ago, like you didn't even stop him on Tyler Herro's not that good, when all of a sudden now it's going to take 6 and 12 for everybody to come over to the side of, okay, you give up Tyler Herro for him because you need Bradley Beal to rescue us. How did you not react to Tyler Herro is not that good?
Because I've been going through his girlfriend's IG looking for a smoking gun as to why he was out the previous games with the health and safety protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Katya.
Yep. Worth it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Always. No, but Dan, to be fair, I don't think Tyler Herro is the reason why Bradley Beal's not a Miami Heat player. I think the reason is what Witty brought up a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It's those magical words, pick inventory, right? If you're the Washington Wizards and you got to trade Bradley Beal, I see what Drew Holiday went for. I see what Paul George went for. I see what James Harden went for. I want that kind of package with a million picks. And Miami's biggest problem is, because of old picks they've done from deals of Christmas past, it's hard for them to cobble together enough of their own first-round picks. Now, what they can do to get around that is offer pick swaps. Hey, if you end up worse than I, or better than I do, you get to have my pick, my better pick, and I'll take your worst pick. You can do that. You can go out and acquire extra picks out on the market by trading other guys, but that obviously makes the mission of getting Bradley Beal and getting a Bradley Beal package together a lot harder than if you just had your own pick.
Dan and Amin, respectfully, Bradley Beal's not here because Bradley Beal hasn't demanded a trade anywhere. He wants to be a Wizard his entire life.
He doesn't want it badly enough, Amin.
He doesn't want it Bradley enough.
Hey-o.
Wow. I do love that. That is the assumption at this point in Miami. That's the arrogance and entitlement of Miami. I mean, Bradley Beal's not here only because we're not willing to give up Tyler Herro, right? It doesn't have anything to do with what Bradley Beal might want, right? That's not in play.
I would say that Bradley Beal hasn't publicly told people that he wants out. That's how I would frame that. We don't know publicly if he wants to be traded. Because the reality is, when you look at Harden, when you look at Butler, when you look at Anthony Davis, the reason we knew they wanted to be traded is because they came out and said, I want to get traded. And the reason why they did that and made such a public stink about it is because after privately expressing those wishes, they were rebuffed by their teams, right? The team either didn't take it seriously or outright said, no, we're not going to trade you. We don't care if it gets uncomfortable. And so once you have that kind of conversation, that contentious conversation with your team where you're like, hey, thanks for the memories, but I'd like to move on. And they're saying, no, you ain't going nowhere. Or, oh, he'll be fine. He'll you know, change his mind. Then you have to escalate to the next step, and the next step is making a mess. If Bradley Beal has privately expressed his desire to get traded to Wizards management, and Wizards management tells him, you got it, man. Thank you for the memories. We're going to do everything we can now. We want a big package for you. It might take a while, but you just got to trust us, just like we did with John. When we traded John Wall, and we'll take care of it. If that is the scenario that's happening, then right now you see what you see, which is Bradley Beal doesn't request a trade, doesn't demand to go to Miami or anything, but also he looks frustrated as hell after every loss, where he just looks exhausted and he's rolling his eyes. And in the post-game press conferences, he's talking about, they're asking, are you frustrated? And he says, is the sky blue? Like that is the behavior of someone who is holding his tongue.
You said thanks for the memories. Name a memory. Beal.
For Bradley Beal, the other night when they beat the Nets. How about that?
No one. 2 years from now, if I ask you about that, you won't remember it. Like, I'm trying to put myself in Bradley Beal's shoes, and I'm thinking, like, hey, if I have this contract, I get traded to the Heat, the money's not going to get any bigger, right? It's not going to be more than it was with Washington. Like, why not? Yeah, but you have no expectations there. You kind of show up when you feel like showing up, you know? You're a looter in a riot. Like, I don't know. There's no pressure. I think Beal kind of likes that. I think what he's doing after the games where he looks disappointed is he's selling you on the fact that he's disappointed. I think Beal is perfectly fine scoring 35 a game with no pressure, no expectations, and no one paying attention.
To echo your point, he did score 60 in a loss one time.
You had to look it up, though, right?
No, I kind of, I was like, I Googled it to confirm. I'm like, I thought he scored 60.
All right, that's so there's
a good career highlight.
Let's agree, it's a short highlight package
they
in
were
terms
good.
Of the memories.
They were good when Wall was healthy.
Hold on. First of all, Sugat, the money is bigger because he goes to Florida and there's no state income tax. That makes a massive bet.
You're right.
Second of all, You're arguing with me about remembering something 2 years from now. What was the name of the girl that hit the game winner in the college basketball?
Yes. What was the school?
I called it the biggest
shot
in college basketball.
What was the girl? What was the school?
History.
Who was playing? What was the school? Who won the championship? Stugat said biggest shot ever, male or female. He overcorrected on being trying to be extra woke.
Was it a need?
What was the team? Do you remember what the team was?
Oh.
Amin, we're going to let you go on that note because we got to get Adam Lefko in here, but we've got a new shirt going up at worldofsui.com in honor of Amin. He's on the pirate ship, even though the CEO is not sure why he's on the pirate ship, and even though he's not being paid, and he was suspended without pay because he's not being paid.
He's on a pirate ship with no internet.
He said the other day, right now, yes, no internet, but right now what's happening is that Amin El Hassan is saying to us, what was it? What was the signature quote from last week? You got to let a pirate do what a pirate do, or what was it?
Occasionally a pirate will do pirate shit.
And so
everyone loves pirates until they start doing pirate shit.
All right. And so in honor of that, a shirt has gone up at worldofsui.com if you want to support all the things Amin is about. I love, this is so far my favorite of the shirts my brother has made. Have you seen it, Stugatz?
I have not. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, and so it's at worldofsui.com if you want to support the Amin cause. We didn't even get to LeBron making courtside Karen trend last night. Give us a minute of thoughts there before we get to Lefko.
Let me tell you right now, and no offense to my friends at Turner Sports like Adam Lefko, but the idea of having an all-star game in Atlanta, this is what I'm worried about. It's a powder keg. You have a wide open city. You have a global pandemic. You have a weekend of events that always attracts people who are trying to have the time of their lives, pandemic be damned. All of this converging on Atlanta, a city known for its nightlife, I am terrified. And Courtside Karen is like a harbinger of death, of coming. Like, this is what's going to happen. You're just going to have a bunch of crazy drunk people around NBA players and going to expect nothing to go wrong.
I can't believe that we found ourselves in Atlanta on the first day of Black History Month with LeBron James, as crowds are allowed, crowds such as they are, right, because it's not very large crowds, are allowed into the game. And this woman from a cartoon world from just, I don't even know how to explain who this woman is, but the idea that she would be courtside in the mutated form of what America has become post-pandemic, where there are no crowds, and that even the heckling is something, what Russell Westbrook during the during the playoffs last year, didn't he have a family ejected for heckling him? And it was like the weird pandemic moment last
night.
In Utah,
yeah.
Somebody shouldn't be in a situation where they're behaving as if it's a finals game in Miami during a pandemic. How many people were in that crowd that night? And then LeBron, and we go down this hole where it's LeBron fighting courtside Karen. Is Karen the only word that's been weaponized so far by the left against the right? The courtside Karen, where you've got a benign word like woke or snowflake or whatever else. Karen is just a reference to white woman, isn't it? And that's why LeBron made a trend last night when he called her courtside Karen, because there are no black Karens. Is that what it is?
Well, Karen is more about your behavior than it is who you are, but it just so happens that 99.99% of Karens are white women.
And so what did you make of the back and forth last night? Because she immediately became Instagram famous by retelling that she told LeBron she was going to bleep him up.
Yeah, I think that's what's at play here. Whatever was exchanged, LeBron himself said, I didn't want them to be ejected. I didn't think they needed to be ejected. But the moment she got ejected, her and her husband, she capitalized on this 15 seconds of fame that I think that's what's bedeviling our country now and really the society, is the idea that, like, something happened to me. Let me see if I can, like, push the ball forward and make more of a stink. And that's what she tried to do on her Instagram story, just going on and on and cussing. And I'm just like, what's the point of this? Why are we paying attention to this? Why are we giving this woman longer than the 15 seconds that she needs?
Soho Karen was Puerto Rican, Dan.
Okay, well, because she was cartoonish, because the entire controversy was cartoonish and funny, and because LeBron stirred it up by calling, by saying that courtside Karen was mad.
How vulnerable do you feel right now?
Very much.
I feel,
you guys just left me hanging there. It's a perfect way to end the segment. Thank you, Amin. Go buy his pirate shirt. Matt?
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.